You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
In tonight's Executive Lounge, we have a serial entrepreneur who was part of the founding team of Instant EFT and online payments fintech Ozo. Last year, the company secured around $48 million in its Series B investment round that was led by Tencent, which is a big company in the world, Chinese multinational tech company, and also the largest gaming company in the world. He, however, right now is embarking on a new venture to democratize wealth creation in South Africa by allowing South Africans to invest in an exchange that lists and supports startups in their growth journey. His name is Mitchin Adams, and he is the CEO and founder of Aeons Creative Technology, and he's joining us in studio right now for his story. Thanks so much for being with us in studio today.
Yeah, thank you for the post-COVID type of interview. It's nice to be in studio again.
We actually don't really get a lot of post-COVID kind of interviews. A lot of people are stuck in their ways of, remote doing this and that. But thanks so much for joining us. So social distancing observed, of course. So, we're talking right now about what you have been able to achieve within your life. You're actually quite a young man still. But nonetheless, it was interesting to it was interesting to learn a bit about your background. That, I mean, you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You do come from humble beginnings. Yeah. You come from Rivoli. I think a lot of the Joburg listeners will be familiar with that township. Mm. So talk to us about that and how your journey began.
I didn't think I had a journey to begin with. Born in Rivoli. Both my parents are from there. Mm. Born out of wedlock as well. I think my father was 19 when I was conceived. My mother's obviously a lot younger. By the time I was born, my father was 20. So they were fresh out of school, no studies. They just went and found a job. If I remember, my mother worked in the plaza at a spice shop. Mm-hmm. And my father wanted to become a teacher, but he went straight to the bank. I think that was the colored blight, get into the bank and get a job. And he started out in the mailing room. Mm-hmm. By the time he ended 30 years later at the same bank, same job, he was a database administrator, I think a manager also. And my mother, same thing, she ended a second job, was at the council, and she stayed there her whole life. So that was me, like, getting this conservative view of get you a job, a stable job, and stick there. Obviously, my parents wanted me to study. My father in particular pushed me to study, but I grew up in a community. So I was born in Rivoli. Father decided, need something better for you, a better environment, move me to Eldorado Park.
Better environment?
Yes. And then he said, okay, let's go back to Rivoli. I then ended up in an area called Fleerhof.
Sure.
And that's where I grew up. Essentially, I went to school in Coronationville and Bosmont. So these are all predominantly colored areas. And you get a certain mentality growing up there. A lot of gangsterism, drugs, all of that is idolized, and that's cool, and that's what you want to work towards. I was creative my whole life, so I really wanted to be a rapper.
Okay.
Especially
did that go?
It actually went good for a bit. I mean, I used to beatbox with freestyle and all of that, and then when I got a PC, I would say, after I started studying only, I got a PC and I started making beats on that, and that would be like a side project thing. All the guys would come over to my house, we would make beats. So I was forced to go study something.
Sure.
My father just wanted me to study something. I didn't want to study anything. I think his last attempt to try and convert my mind, he used to say to me, Sonny, there's more to life than being colored. My cousin really wanted to travel the world, so she convinced my father that both of us should go on a Kon-Tiki tour at the end of matric.
Okay.
But we didn't have the money to go.
Sure.
So we had to raise money. So there's those infamous curry evenings, the raffles you're doing, car washes, all of that. I think he still had to take out a loan to send me. Went over, and that definitely changed my mind, seeing the rest of the world, seeing what's out there. And you also have this view of South Africa that it's the worst place to be in. At that time, I think early 2000s, people wanted to go to the UK. Everybody was just going to the UK and getting a job there as a waiter or a waitress. I saw the other side of the coin. came back on a New Year's Day looking at just the embankments and the highways and the off-ramp, seeing the green grass on that off-ramp, which you don't see that side.
Sure.
It's just buildings. And also the vibrancy of the different cultures, the different people. We have 11 languages, official languages, 11 official languages, so many tribes, so many cultures. And that just solidified that I needed to be in South Africa and I was going to study. My best friend Lyle was my co-founder at mm-hmm. Ozo. He lived the house next to mine, basically. He was very clever, very mathematically inclined, and he was studying software development, so I decided to go that route.
Okay.
And then, yeah, after the software development part, I just grabbed any job I could at the point once I finished 3 years later, and that ended me up at a stockbroking firm. Made me some money, and with that, I started buying music equipment and still started pursuing the dream. So I started a company called Scratch Beats Entertainment with a few of my friends. We actually got stuff on music. I mean, on radio. We actually got stuff on radio. I represented artists, made beats for them, wrote songs. I became more of an artist manager. And that's where entrepreneurship, I think, kicked in for me. But I also realized I could take my creativity and convert it into something.
So let's talk about that. Because just also in the interest of time, you've got a wonderful story. I want to try and make sure we can maximize it all. So in terms of what you have shared and what you are doing right mm-hmm. now, this platform whereby you are supporting small businesses, you're supporting startups to scale. You're also talking about democratizing wealth in South Africa. So what are you doing there?
So the initial problem we're trying to solve was unemployment. That's the biggest problem. Once I got the exit with Ozo, I was like, I'm leaving the country again. I was at that juncture again. But I figured I'm in this place where I actually have the ability to change things. And what is the one thing I want to change? It would be unemployment. That, I think, is the root of all the problems, the crime, all of that. In order to solve unemployment, we need SMEs, because that is the cure to unemployment. Each of them are going to create about 14 jobs. Why are SMEs not getting the support they need? Within 2 years, they're failing. And then you got a bunch of guys that will give you funding called VCs or venture capitalists. They exist past that failure point. So if you can get past that failure point, they'll give you the money. But you need the money to get there.
Sure.
And that's where we came in. So I created first Aeons Creative Technology to bridge that gap, to help the guys get past the two-year mark by giving them funding as well as mentorship, coaching, making them VC ready, and then introducing them to VCs within 3 years and passing it over to them. The other thing we saw was that, you know, South Africa has a lot of money. A lot of the offshore investment stopped coming into the country. You'll see Nigeria is getting a lot of money, Kenya is getting a lot of money, but South Africa not so much. And I looked at how much money is actually in the country, but it's dammed in pools all over in specific areas, and we need to spread that money somehow. If I look at my life, like I said initially, Inya, I didn't think I was going to move into this direction at all. I feel I'm living an extraordinary lifestyle right now.
Sure.
And that's all because of Ozo. All because I started a company, built value over 7 years, and was able to exit on that. The exit gave me financial freedom I would have never, ever dreamed of as a 20-year-old guy. So for me, you can save money. You can put it in an RA. You can do all the traditional stuff that people ask you and tell you to do, but investing in a company at the early stage, staying there for a short period, and then exiting, that's the best way to create wealth. Not just save, not just secure your future, but create wealth, and it's a legacy thing that you're going to get out of that. So by doing this, we essentially imagine you meet Mark Zuckerberg one day, right in the beginning of Facebook. He's in the room, he's pitching to a bunch of people. You in that room, which would never happen because you're not in that social network to get into that room. The AEX is bringing that room to you right now.
Sure.
As an everyday South African. Now you're in the room and they say, great, everybody loves this idea. It's 100,000 rand a share. You say, I only have 1,000 rand in my pocket. Well, sorry, you have to get out of the room. Who said you could come in here anyways, you know?
Sure.
Because we've built this AEX on a blockchain, the shares that we own in the companies that we're investing in, we can fractionalize that. So with 50 Rand, you can actually invest in this company. You leave it there for 3 years while we work and build this company up, introduce them to a VC who says, hey, these guys are actually, they're ready now for us to give the money. On that exit, we make quite a bit of money, and then we pay out to everybody that's taken part in that. And we're looking at about 840% returns.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I'm sad that we are out of time right now when the story is only beginning. But essentially what it does sound like is that you are doing for others what was essentially done for you.
Yes.
But I do think that maybe this is one of the cases whereby a follow-up interview is due, is warranted, but perhaps in a different form, just to help us better understand how South Africans can participate on your platform. And more importantly, some of the risks that potentially could be
could I address the risk quickly?
Unfortunately.
5 second thing. There's no risk. We guarantee a 10% return.
Okay. People who say there's no risk always need a follow-up question. So he definitely has to come back. Hisham Adams, the CEO and founder of Aeon's Creative Technology, in the Executive Lounge today.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.